Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson today is from Matthew 28, our lesson you heard moments ago. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Today, Trinity Sunday, we confess the mystery of the Trinity, God who reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Those words we just heard from Matthew obviously are the very closing verses of that gospel. And this is a very well-known section. Many of you have memorized those words of the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples. But preceding these words, there's a reference to the 11. The 11 going to Galilee. Not the 12, because we know one is missing. And that takes us back to that horrible night, the night when he was betrayed. Of course, that's the night when Judas, the betrayer, kissed Jesus, resulting in his arrest, trial, and crucifixion. But the betrayal went beyond Judas's act. For Matthew records that all the disciples left him and fled. That night was certainly a bad night for all the disciples, a time which they could hardly forget. But now it seems, as we read, hear those words from Matthew 28, it seems that there has been a reconciliation between Jesus and these disciples. Matthew is kind of silent about this reconciliation, but we know from the other Gospels that Jesus appeared to his disciples. Luke tells us that Jesus spoke those words of comfort and restoration, "Peace to you. Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts?" So now the 11, now forgiven, now restored, are going to Galilee to see Jesus. And when they arrive, Jesus is there, and they worshiped him. And then we have that little phrase, "but some doubted." Now, Matthew doesn't go into great detail about this, what these words mean, that some doubted. You would think that they had already seen Jesus a number of times and knew that he had risen from the dead. But remember Peter, way back when. Remember the time when Jesus invited him out of the boat and he walked on the water? And what happened to Peter? He took his eyes off Jesus and immediately he began to sink. And Jesus responded by saying, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" You see, Peter took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. Now, it isn't just Peter, but Matthew talks about the rest of the disciples in that same kind of language. "O you of little faith." it seems that these disciples have a reputation of weak faith, of a wavering faith. It's almost like we would like to sit down with those disciples. Maybe it's one of those things when we get to heaven, we can ask them, what was going on here? Were you still doubting? And what were you doubting? Were you wavering in your faith? What's wrong with you guys? Don't you have it all together? Ah, yes, there we have the old wagging finger syndrome. And you know what the wagging finger syndrome is. When you point out somebody's error, mistake, or wrongdoing, what do you have? You've got a couple fingers, depending on your arthritic hand condition, but you have several fingers pointing back at you because you yourself are guilty of the same thing. Wavering faith. Where do our doubts lie? What do we doubt when it comes to our faith in Christ? Do we doubt if the resurrection was a real thing? Did Jesus really die and rose from the dead? Did he really do that? But I think the most crucial doubt that we might have is, am I forgiven? Do I have God's forgiveness for all the bad things that I do? Am I forgiven for all those thoughts that go through my mind each day? Have you gone down that road one time or another? I'm sure we all have. And so that Matthew's description of the disciples fits us as well. O you of little faith. But our text today doesn't stop there. It stops us from going down that dark, dead-ended road. Immediately, it points to Jesus. And so the very next words say, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So here stands Jesus, risen from the dead, mission completed, death defeated, Satan overcome, salvation gained for all. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Now, I think when we hear those words, authority, the first place we want to go is the authority of God to speak, and it was so. And so we heard that in our Old Testament lesson from Genesis. And God said, and it was. That's power, that's authority. But there's more authority that we have with God, and that is in the forgiveness of sins. Back in Matthew 9, Jesus heals a paralytic. And afterwards, the scribes accuse Jesus of blasphemy. And Jesus responds by saying, for which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he then said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. Jesus brings with him the authority to forgive sins. like those doubting disciples. He forgave them, those doubters and those faith waverers. And he does the same for each one of us here today. That authority that Jesus has is life-changing. Each one of us has had our lives changed by that authority that was spoken over us at the font. Your sins are forgiven. In the absolution spoken by the pastor, in the body and blood of Christ, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This is life-changing. We might even say that it's good news. That authoritative, powerful word of God speaks that word of forgiveness to you. That word tells you that your sins are forgiven because of the Son, incarnation, suffering, death, and resurrection. And simply we know that from John 3:16. The risen and ascended Christ says to each one of you, your sins are forgiven, go in peace. Your wavering faith, your doubts, they've all been overcome and overwhelmed by God's grace through his Son's great love for you. That's what the word authority means for each one of us. It means that in Christ Jesus, we have peace with God. Now, do doubts still remain? Unfortunately, yes. Will your faith waver at times? Unfortunately, yes. On this side of heaven, because of the sinful flesh, because of the sinful, broken world that we live in, there will be doubts and there will be times of wavering faith. And when those times arise, and unfortunately they will, I can think of no better advice than what is found in Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In other words, that one who has the authority to give you forgiveness. And completing that verse, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So now Jesus tells the 11, based on this authority in heaven and on earth to forgive sins and bring peace to mankind, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or guard all that I have commanded you. Here is Jesus commissioning and sending his church into the world with that precious gospel message, that message of forgiveness, that message of peace. The Savior gives his church the power, the authority to forgive sins. And it's through that power of the gospel that disciples are made. the making of disciples, the task of the missionary church, is always connected to the Lord of the church, the Lord crucified, risen, and ascended. The authority that the church has is not the church's own, but that authority comes from God, from the Son, to the church, and through the church out to the world. The joy and the peace that you experience in Christ's forgiveness is not meant just for you, but is meant for all nations, fulfilling that Old Testament promise made to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The Lord of the church gives his church the means through which the families of the earth will be blessed. You, the saints gathered here, receive those blessings of God in word and sacrament. May these blessings bring you comfort and joy in Christ. And may you pray continually that many more will come to know that same comfort and joy that is found only in Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.